Senator John Braun from Centralia, good afternoon to you, sir. Thanks for your time this afternoon. We do appreciate you joining the program. First question I'd like to ask you, Senator, is what are your thoughts on the State of the State address given the other day by Governor Inslee?
Well, broadly, I'd say, you know, here's the governor declaring victory on so many issues that we know when we listen to just regular Washingtonians across the state that they're far from solved, whether it's public safety, where we still have 25-year highs in violent and nonviolent crime, or affordability and food, gas, housing, child care are still unaffordable for many of our fellow citizens. And then education, we're now, we continue to fall. We used to be a top 10 set of public schools in the nation. We're average now, and it's getting worse every year. So I was a little frustrated that he seemed to want to declare victory when we know that we still have major challenges in our communities across the state.
Senator Braun, let's talk about education for a minute, because that has been a big topic for Republicans in the House and the Senate heading into this session. We know that there has been a learning, I guess, curve gap, for lack of a better way to put it, regarding coming out of the pandemic and associated with remote learning and so on and so forth. So what are some of the things that you and your colleagues in the Senate are looking to do to try and restore education, or at least the quality thereof, in the public school system?
You bet. So, and this is, again, part of the frustration with the governor. We have enormous learning loss across all grade levels around our state in the public school system. And the governor and sadly the superintendent of public instruction, they don't even want to talk about learning loss. But the truth is, you know, 1 in 3 students can't pass our assessment at grade level for reading or writing. We have a big problem. We have to get, and I also say I'm frustrated that the legislature, we knew about this a year ago, and we didn't do anything. The majorities did not do anything material to change the situation. I'll tell you what we can do to fix it. Some things are really straightforward, like what they call intensive tutoring, where you use, you know, higher graded students to tutor students in the lower grades. And you can do this across the school systems. It does cost a little money, but it's very affordable. And the research shows it's very effective. Other school districts across the country are doing this with some success. We need to do that more intensively around the state. Summer school, you know, learning loss is significant because of the pandemic, but it's not the first time we've dealt with students that have fallen behind. You know, traditionally we use summer school as one of the ways to help get students get caught up. We should be doing that, and that does take some funding. And then the other thing I would say is this is an opportunity for us to think more broadly about not just the learning loss from the pandemic, but we have learning loss every year during the summer break. We should talk about, should we rethink the school year? Do we need to have a 3-month summer break, or can we take even the same number of days and spread them more evenly around the year? We got to do it in a way that's predictable for parents, and maybe add days that get our students better prepared. You know, they're gonna come out of our school system and be in a very competitive environment. We need to help them get caught back up and be in the best position they can be to have a successful life.
We're talking with Senator John Braun. He's the Senate Republican leader representing Centralia here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Senator Braun, I want to go back to education for just a second, because there have been some in your party who have cautioned that we are heading towards another McCleary situation. Is that an accurate assessment? And if you believe that is, what are some of the things that you and others in the Senate are looking at to try and prevent that from happening?
Yes, and I'm one of the ones that have been warning against this, and I've been warning against it for a few years, and it's getting worse. And just so everybody understands, McCleary is the lawsuit from 2012 that said the state's not performing its constitutional responsibility and fully funding basic education around the state. They're over-relying on local levies, and the reason that matters is because there's a huge difference, you know, if you look at, you know, Seattle or Bellevue or Medina, they can, for a few pennies on the $1,000 in property taxes, they can raise $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 per student. And if you go to our rural communities around the state, it can cost $3-$4 per thousand, and they still only raise a fraction of that money. So you get this huge and growing you know, difference in funding around the state, and naturally that leads to different educational opportunities. And we are on the wrong track. Literally the year after we sort of solved the McCleary problem, we settled on the McCleary lawsuit, the majority came back in and raised the allowable rate for local levies. And there's nothing, no problem constitutionally with raising that rate, but we know from McCleary and 30 years before that with the Dorn decision that the state has not done its job when we allow those rates to go up. And once again, we're on the same path. When we finished the McCleary lawsuit, K-12 public education was 51% of the state's operating budget. Today it's 43%, and every year it's going down. It's actually going down faster than it did during the McCleary year. So we are on the wrong track. We still have a chance to get it fixed, but it gets harder every year we wait.
And Senator, kind of tying in with education, I was paying a lot of attention in October and November when Reichdahl was laying out some very expensive looking proposals he had for education, but some of them seemed to be not so much classroom oriented as logistical, whether it was the, you know, free food for all students, K-12, free school supplies. Do you think that his goals or proposals tie in with what you think needs to be done to help improve education? Because he seems to want to spend a ton of money, but I just don't see a lot of, it's mostly appears to be logistical.
Yeah, it's kind of a split on that. Like, I'm sort of interested, candidly, on the free school lunch. I think if we're going to do school lunch, you know, I get a little bit weary of doing this for some kids and not for all kids. Let's help out the kids in the middle, are the ones that typically get left behind in a situation like that. I'll tell you, my frustration with the superintendent of public instruction is his lack of focus on academic excellence. He has been resistant at every turn to meaningful testing, and that's hard to get it right. I certainly acknowledge that, but we have to know, are we getting it right? We have to know if we're getting it right, if we're going to continue to improve and make sure our kids get the education they deserve. You see him repeatedly downplay the importance of academic success, academic excellence, and go after, you know, building the bureaucracy, which I don't believe serves our kids, our parents, or our communities well.
We're talking with Senator John Braun. He's the Senate Republican leader here on The Bottom Line, representing Centralia. Senator Braun, I want to touch on the governor's ask for a $4 billion bond to be approved and go to voters for their say to deal with housing and homelessness. We have spent billions of dollars already as a state on this issue. We're seeing the problem get worse. Why should we throw another $4 billion of good money to money that we haven't seen it pay any kind of a dividend yet? Is there a better way to address this, like maybe amending the Growth Management Act, or how do you propose and how do Senate Republicans propose to address this issue?
Yeah, so I am not a fan of the governor's proposal. I appreciate that he's finally recognized this problem that has largely grown and occurred on his watch. But just pouring more money, and this is a lot of money, $4 billion outside the state's debt limit, it would end up being about $600 million a year in debt service for the cycle. And it doesn't come close, even with that huge amount of money, doesn't come close to solving the housing problem we have in our state. If you're going to solve this, you're on the right track. We have to adjust the Growth Management Act to allow it, to make it, you know, economic to build affordable housing, and we have to engage the private sector. And just to put it in perspective, the governor's, you know, a few numbers. He claims he wants $4 billion. That's a factor of 10 more than anybody's ever asked for outside the operating budget, just to put that in perspective. But he says if he has that, he can build 20,000 homes by the year 2030. Well, that's $200,000 a home. That's less than half of what historically the government has been spending on affordable housing. So I don't think he can do what he's claiming he can do. But even if he could, which I think is highly doubtful, if you add 20,000 homes between now and 2030, you do almost nothing to solve the problem. We have a you know, somewhere between 250 and 300,000 home shortfall in our state. If you take the next, you know, 7 years to build 20,000 homes, you're not making any material progress on that problem. It's just, you know, so I acknowledge and appreciate that he finally recognizes we have a real problem that are affecting real people in our state, but this is the wrong solution.
So, Senator Braun, we discussed, mentioned the Growth Management Act. How does that get, what approach can we take? What approach can be taken to amend that, to make it more advantageous for communities to be able to build housing and be able to bring land in so that they can address the housing issue where they need it, not leaving it up to governor to try and figure out 20,000 homes in 39 counties?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So here's the challenge is cities and counties involved also look at opportunity to add to the urban growth area and ultimately incorporate that into cities. The Growth Management Act that makes that very difficult. They're very open to lawsuit from FutureWise and other organizations. We need to simplify that process so that it doesn't take years and years to expand the Growth Management Act to account for growing population. What we don't seem to get is that we need to be planning today for the housing we need in 10 to 20 years. We can't wait another 10 or years to plan for that. You can't even wait another year. If we don't plan today, we'll be out of luck, in the future. And the reason we're having a problem now is because when Growth Management Act was put in place now over 30 years ago, it basically stopped planning for the future. It slowed it down so that this giant, shortfall grew up over time. So the simple answer, and this is a complicated problem, don't get me wrong, but the simple answer is we have to make it easier for states. And that's not hard, but it's not hard from, the kind of, law changes we need. It is difficult politically because there is this kind of belief on the other side of the aisle that the Growth Management Act was carved in marble and cannot be altered. That's just flat untrue, and it no longer serves our needs. It doesn't mean we don't have to have some planning, but we need to change it so that it can be adopted, used by our cities and counties effectively, promptly, in a way that can provide housing to private sector so they can go build the thousands of houses we need.
We're talking with Senator John Braun. He is the Senate Republican leader representing Centralia here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator, to kind of shift gears a little bit, I know that this has gotten a lot of attention and unfortunately raised a lot of eyebrows in a negative way. It's only been, legislature started on Monday, and already they've abandoned, I believe it was Senator Wilson, the legislation that emergency powers. Basically, in a politically kind way, they just said, we're going to throw it in the dumpster. What's the overall reaction of the GOP that basically the other side of the aisle is saying, we're not interested in reforming the emergency powers at all?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating because when you actually look at the legislation that Senator Wilson has proposed, it's not partisan. It's the exact sort of legislation statute you'd want in place if there was a Republican governor or Republican majorities in the legislature. Now, essentially what they're concerned about is hurting the feelings of the governor because he takes it very personally when we say, hey, you didn't get it quite right during the pandemic. That said, we're going to stay after it. This isn't going away, and we're going to stay after it. And eventually, I think we will prevail. It may just take a little while until people calm down and say this is just good government. That we can't have these long-term emergency where we basically put one person in charge for years at a time. We need people. People want to be properly represented in Olympia. We need to empower the legislature, and we can do it. We just have to have the political will. I think we'll get there eventually, but you're right. Right now, the majority party is just not interested, and I think it's just because they're cowed by the governor.
Senator Braun, first, thanks for the step forward in a ban on title-only bills in the Senate rules for this session at least, but it doesn't preclude the House from adopting any title-only bills, and it wouldn't preclude the Senate from voting on those title-only bills that would be that could potentially pass through the House. Is this sending a message to the other chamber that we need to abandon this practice by the Senate doing so? And was it easier to get accomplished than maybe you thought going in?
Well, I give the majority in the Senate credit for this. I think this is a good move, long overdue, and it's they've been around for a long time, and they've been misused for a long time, and especially in the last 5 years. So they in this case, they listened to the public, they listened to the outcry on around the state, the title-only bills introduced at the last, you know, dropped and then formatted, you know, late in the process without real public vetting are wrong. And so, you know, everybody does something, you know, they did something right here, and I think they deserve credit for it.
We're talking with Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader from Centralia here on The Bottom Line. One final question for you, Senator, and you mentioned about the amount of time the governor's been in office. He's only the second three-term governor that we have had in the state over its long history. The governor ran for re-election during his state of emergency in 2020. But if we had a similar law like other states that limited the governor to two terms, he would not have been able to do so. Has there been any thought or discussion of trying to put something forward to, if the emergency powers can't get passed, that maybe a term limits bill on the governor's position can be put forward?
I'm certainly interested, and I don't think that is easier than the emergency powers bill. I think that politically, with the current majority, that'd be very hard. I do think the people of the state of Washington would support it. I think whatever your politics, you like to see, you know, they don't want to see someone in charge for a long period of time. So I think it'd be politically popular with Washingtonians. My guess right now is the current majorities would not entertain that, but to answer your specific question, it's not something we really thought or talked much about just because it didn't seem doable, but it's a good idea.
Senator Braun, always appreciate your time, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again a little bit later on in the session.
All right. Thanks for having me on. You have a good day.
You too, sir. Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader.